The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai, entrepreneur, wife, and mother of three, once divorced and now remarried to a much younger man. Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury follows me as I live my life unapologetically and shows you that there is life after 40. I'm here to let you know that not only is there a life after divorce, but you have the power to make it your best one yet, just like I did. So buckle up and join me for the wild ride. So welcome back to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury. And thank you all out there for obviously your support, and my numbers are going up and up. So I'm really, really happy. And apparently you all love my rants the most. The most fascinating episodes to you are beauty, which I completely understand, having been through the facelift and the amount of sort of support and questions I get. So today is how to feel and look your best when sort of heading towards 50 at a very fast rate, as far as I can see. I'm 48 in April. And let me tell you something, actually. I have never felt more confident, better, sexier, and I don't know, happier in my own skin. And I can honestly say that. I did an interview last night with Kat Sadler, who was one of the big reasons actually I did my facelift, because she made it look natural. And I think what we've all been conditioned, because I mean, I can't tell you how many people, when I go out for dinner now, I just get stopped everywhere because people want to look at my scars or ask to look behind my ears. It's so funny. Or take a picture and just, you know, to see if I look natural. It's just, it's brilliant. But people do come up and they ask. And I understand why now, because if you look back at the classic facelifts and all of these things, we have this wind tunneled effect. We have this view of the Bride of Wildenstein, which is really all that ever got publicized. I mean, when you look at people like Demi Moore and many celebrities, Victoria's Secret models, and people that have not lied, but not come out about it. But then when you look at them closer, you realize in their 50s and nearly 60s, there's no possible way you can look that good. There just is no possible way without surgical enhancement. And what is funny is that when Kat asked me last night, why did I make my facelift so public? Not because, you know, I didn't know it was going to go as viral as it did, but I think I did it because I want to tell people that, you know, you don't have to come out looking really odd. You don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars with, you know, the three top surgeons in the world. You don't have to do everything to look a certain way. And you don't have to come out looking like a different person. And I think that's why I was so enthralled by Kat's facelift and why I chose that specific doctor at that time. But, you know, there are many, many good doctors out there today. And this is not an ad for my doctor or anybody else. And I work with so many amazing, well, two amazing surgeons now, who I absolutely love too. It really is about getting that consult and feeling happy where you are, because you need to have confidence and walk in. And as we both said last night on the podcast, that I think the scary thing is when you come out, no one's prepared you because there aren't pictures of it. You don't necessarily know what you're going to look like. As most of you know, I got a lot of bad press as well, with people thinking that I'd had a botched facelift because I was the one saying that you looked like a car crash and the car won. Well, I did look like a car crash for the first 3 days, ladies. That's it. Then you begin to normalize. I mean, you look a bit weird. Your face is the wrong shape for a while. But, you know, as I said very, very clearly before, is nothing now that I wouldn't go through again in a heartbeat. I was on the plane the other day with Sergio coming back, and we were looking, and he goes, God, you look good. And I was like, knowing now
what you know, would you have let me do it? Because it really was a struggle. I mean, poor Kat Sadler had to get on the phone and talk to Sergio and show him her scars and no makeup on, broad daylight, that kind of thing. You know, she was amazing. And a lot of people don't have a Kat Sadler you can just call up who's had one that's prepared to do that. I was really lucky, and that sort of calmed my husband down a bit. But, you know, as a 29-year-old with a much older woman, he did not want to have one of those fake-looking wives that has had, you know, what he was scared about was having an older wife trying to look young and it just backfiring. And it hasn't. And as I've said, and I think we both agreed the other day, I think it's got a lot to do with the fact I didn't lift my eyebrows and I haven't lifted my eyes. And I think that the eye shape changes a lot to your face. I'm doing it now. Although it opens up your eyes, I think it just reshapes your face and you can come out just looking not like yourself. And that's fine if you don't want to. And some people go in for those big beautifications and they want this whole new look and they want to look like a supermodel. And, you know, they come out very happy. That's not what I wanted. I didn't want to come home and my children not recognize me. But there are lots of other things that you can also do, ladies, that doesn't revolve around surgery. Because I feel like that was something I wanted to do for a boost to me. It was just something, it gives me another 15, 20 years of feeling fabulous, looking fabulous. And I think, you know, I could have got away with it. Lots of people say to me, well, you know, you didn't look that bad. You could have waited. Well, yes, I could have waited. But then your skin gets really lax and then you look really different. You are beginning to need it. And then suddenly you come back looking fresh as a daisy and everyone's like, oh my God, that's just a giant difference. And I didn't want that either. I wanted you all to sort of go, you're not quite sure what I did, but it looks great. And that's what's happened. The other things that you can do, and I think what changes a woman and the way you feel, and I think I've always said this, no matter what your income or where you are in life, being able to even paint your own bloody nails changes the way you feel. There's nothing worse than having ugly nails or, you know, your hair color. These kind of things just brighten your day. I think going into your 50s, I think a lot of women have been told, well, at 40, late 40s, early 50s, you don't matter anymore. You're not, the world's not looking at you that way. You know, you don't need to be sexy because no one's looking at you as a sexual being. Therefore, don't waste your money. Just enjoy your life and get out the knitting needles. Well, I mean, hello. There's no fucking way that's happening to me. I'm not getting out the knitting needles till I'm at least in my 70s. And by the way, I know plenty of women, as I said, Demi Moore's in her late 60s. She is a sex kitten. And actually, she's a typical example of a terrible, terrible facelift that went horribly wrong. And then now, with the right doctor, wow, absolutely wow. She looks amazing. But there are other things, as I said, that you can do going into your 50s. And I'm a big advocate on how to look great. You can just use injectables. As I said, you can get past way into your 60s just using injectables and holding your face up because it is just a matter of millimeters and whatever, and just sort of getting rid of the wrinkles around your eyes or the laxity under your neck. And there are things that you can do that aren't as drastic as what I've done. You know, I also think makeup plays a big, big part. You know, I mean, the great thing now for having the facelift for me was that I don't feel I need as much makeup as I did. And, you know, I had a whiz of a makeup artist, still do, which I use for the show. And the show is, you know, not real life, obviously. And you feel there's a lot of lights and you feel that you have to have a lot covered because everybody's watching you, everybody's judging you. In your day-to-day life, maybe you're not going to have that, you know, so you don't need as much. But, you know, things like, I can't speak enough about a good concealer and going at least 2 shades lighter than your normal skin tone. There is something, I use Tarte. I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's the best for older skin or not, but I use Tarte and absolutely love it. If I have to take one thing with me, I can't be without concealer because I put it on my chin as well. I have quite a sort of red chin and it takes the redness down. It brightens your skin. It lifts your face. And I think that concealer, as you go into your 40s, your late 40s and 50s, is an absolute must. Even out your skin tone and lift and brighten your skin. Also, just using really good skincare now. You know, I think she's called Laura Devon in New York. She's amazing. She's actually does incredible. She's a doctor as well, but she has a skincare line. I use great facials. I'm about to go and see Dr. Kasabian in LA and have one of his gold facials and be pampered. And I think things like that, just getting a facial every 1 to 2 months lifts and brightens and tightens and tones your skin. And using a good glycolic acid, again, evens out skin tone, plumps your skin, gets rid of fine lines. I think, you know, when you wake up in the morning, we all look a bit scary. I look less scary now. And actually, that was the one thing that really just said to me that it's time. You know, I had those really dreadfully hooded eyes. And no matter what creams I put on, and I can put great creams around it, it sort of just pumped it for that moment. It just didn't do the job all day. And I think, you know, the eye surgery is a huge, huge thing. If you can do one thing, do the eyes. It opens your eyes up and it gives you this youthful sort of, I don't know, glow. And the hormones has made me glow from the inside out too. Let's take a little break from the show and talk about a new service, Delete Me. In today's age, I defy any of you to say that you, none of us know someone that's been a victim of identity theft, harassed, scammed, or annoyed by spam and robot calls. That's why we talk about why privacy matters so much. Our personal information, our children's information, it's everywhere on the internet today. We're such easy targets, but we can protect ourselves and have peace of mind with Delete Me. I mean, I can't tell you how important this is, especially as being, you know, public figure. And, you know, if you're elderly, these kind of things make us really easy targets, especially with the world being the way it is today. It could even be down to your political views that make you a target of cyber crimes. Identity theft has become increasingly easy. Credit card theft. Imagine waking up and finding your bank accounts emptied. I mean, you'd be shocked at how often this actually occurs. So you can actually have your personal information easily obtained from data brokers. 98% of US citizens are on these lists. Your name, your contact information, your social security, your home address, that this petrifies me, by the way, and information about your family members could be used for harassment and identity theft. The good news is that you can protect your data with Delete Me. I've just read in their latest press release, actually, that calls and subscriptions to Delete Me have over doubled in the last 9 months. That's how bad it is out there. Ever wondered how much of your personal data is out there for anyone to see? Well, a lot more than you think. But now you're able to protect your privacy with Delete Me. As a person who exists publicly, I always share my opinion online. I'm hyper aware of safety and security, and it's easier to find personal information about people online than it is just to hang out in an internet cafe today. That's why I personally recommend you choose Delete Me. I found the solution for myself, and I'm passing it on to you guys. And Delete Me will remove any personal information that you don't want online. It's a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people searches and databases in the world. It's a process that helps prevent identity theft, doxing, and phishing scams. So sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts will take it from there. It sends you regular personalized privacy reports that will show you all the information that they found, where they found it, and what they've removed. So it's not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you and constantly monitoring and removing personal information that you don't want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special rate, guys, for my listeners today. Get 20% off today with my code. So join deleteme.com/uncut and use promo code uncut at checkout. And it really is the only way to get 20% off. So go to joindeleteme.com /uncut and enter the code uncut at checkout. joinedeleteme.com/uncut. Thank me later. Let's get back to the show. Changing my routine and learning what my hormone levels were. And that was quite difficult here because they don't really offer that service so much in Dubai. But in America, it's huge. And it actually should be more recognized and more available because, you know, although I try to do the natural one, which is just simply peeing on a stick, but then you have to send it to somewhere like Belgium, I can't remember, and post it. It's some wee stick. You have to time the wees, and I kept getting it wrong, and then I kept missing one. And then I was like, oh, for God's sake. By the end of it, I wanted to throw the pee test across the room. I did about 6, never got it to Belgium, and never found out. And then I went to America, walked straight in, and I had my results within, 3 hours. And they told me when all my hormone levels were and why I was feeling a certain way. And at that point, so now, ladies, I know that I've told you before, I did testosterone pellet in the bum. When I say in the bum, I mean in the muscle. So it has to be surgically put into the muscle. It takes about 5 minutes. It's nothing. And they numb the area. It's really, I'm actually going to LA in the morning. Woohoo. And I'm going to have my next one put in. So I'm very excited about that because, they last 3 months. And it does. It changes everything for a woman. And again, this is where I think the misconception comes. We're not overly stimulating your hormones. You're not trying to be something you're not. You're going back to where you were when you were younger so that your hormones are in the same place as you were in your 20s and 30s. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why is it that we are meant to accept growing old and not take any help? That the moment you take help, you're judged for it. I just don't understand. I don't want to be a testosterone-taking bodybuilder. I want to be, how I felt in my 20s and 30s. And actually, probably didn't feel enough because I still wasn't checking my hormones then. And I would have known then that having kids and all of that will have used my hormones and they won't quite be in the right place. So having someone rejig me after having children and IVF and all of these things was life-changing. My hormone doctor, Dr. Chris, who is a lifesaver, is on speed dial. Poor guy, literally hates his life because I text him all the time. And I am now going to Los Angeles where I will have the pellet put back in. The copper peptides I'm not doing again because apparently you take 3 month break. And then NAD I will be doing again now, which I think that one is something also that just improves your nails, your hair, your feeling, your collagen, and just makes you feel and look your best. And why wouldn't we do all that? It doesn't make any sense to me that as women going into their 50s, we're meant to suffer in silence. I'm not really sure. You're meant to have no sex drive. You're meant to be tired all day. You're meant to suffer because we're now hitting 50. No, you can turn it around completely. I have girlfriends who look better today in their 40s and 50s than they did in their 20s and 30s. And that's down to having the right help, knowledge, and understanding your body. There is no reason today in this world that we live in to suffer at all. None. And also, things like that. Then when you get up with a joyous step, that's what I was saying about not just doing all the hormones and finding out all of these things, but there are so many things out there to help you with everything. So I'm going to start doing pills. I take pills for my hair loss, and as we get older, it's natural just to lose a bit of hair. I don't want to lose hair. Okay, I don't want to be using extensions for the rest of my life. So I'm, take pills for that. Then I want to take, all of you women, how many women have written to me about Mounjaro, Ozempic, and all of these things like it's some dirty secret on the black market? It is not. I mean, there is obviously it is on the black market as well, which is, whichever way people are getting it, I don't know. But it's totally legal and it is a tool. And if you are suffering in silence and you hate yourself, it's far better to do this for a few months than spend months and months or years hating your body. Why should you hate your body? Because, you know, you're too embarrassed to ask for help. It makes no sense to me. So I think the number one thing to feel fabulous in your 50s is really going into your 50s is self-care. Because I can't explain, if you don't love yourself, no one else can. And I think that's the most important thing. Because when you have self-love and you have self-care and you build a routine around you, so what is the most important thing? A routine in the day. I know that, okay, I work a lot and I travel a lot, so it's not always possible. But when I'm back, I will say to my assistant, I don't care what happens, build in 3 workout sessions for me a week. I have to have 3 minimum. Okay. If I can have more, I want it. But if I can't, come hell or high water, I need to move. Pilates is great. It's great movement. It's great strengthening. I know it looks like twaddle and it looks like it's easy. Trust me, go try your first Pilates and then come back to me. You know, my husband cannot do it. Exercise is a massive one. A massive one. It changes everything. And when you exercise and you get your body moving, that's when you're able to practice gratitude too, because you feel grateful that you've still got this body. You feel grateful for everything. You know, I don't need to feel grateful because I've got a new Birkin bag. I feel grateful because I'm breathing the air and I'm in my home. I can't tell you how grateful I wake up every day listening to the water outside my house. It's funny, I had the giant mansion before, and I don't think I've ever felt happier and more grateful as I am in this home, because every bit of it was done by love for me, with me, by me. And I love it. I really can't tell you how happy I am in my own skin. It's not about the size of your home. It's about you and how you get up and how you speak to yourself. Positivity is everything. Yes, there are things that go wrong in the day. There's always going to be things that go wrong in the day. But the key is how you react to them and how you let them affect you. And I think the most important thing that I was taught are the ones, you know, that you can't change. There's no point sweating over. And I think getting up and having a morning routine, and what does that look like for you? So I open the windows. I listen to, you know, I try and sleep with the windows open because I think fresh air changes everything too. I don't care whether it's cold or not. I'd rather put an extra blanket on. But, you know, waking up with fresh air for your skin, for your eyes, for just breathing it in, you know. And then things like taking time for a skin routine, I've learned. Taking time for a hair routine. Taking time to do things that make you feel better about yourself. Like, as we get older, I think one of the bits that we can't get rid of is the chest lines that I know a lot of you see me talk about a lot when I do posts. And I think Dr. Kasabian's been working on getting rid of those for a long time for me. And what we do is we inject filler, and it's a certain type of filler that stimulates the collagen underneath your skin naturally and to sort of rebuild. Because obviously, as we get older, your skin gets thinner. These fine lines and wrinkles come between your boobs, and it doesn't matter. Now I've got this like baby, soft, amazing neck, but my chest is still a work in progress. But I've found out now, you know, just simple olive oil, or I think it was this oil I've got. I'll look it up for you guys. There's another oil too, but olive oil works as well on your chest every night and in the morning, just really helps those lines. Olive oil on your face. All of these things, it doesn't need to be expensive. Olive oil and Nivea was my go-to for years and years and years. And I love that. And I slather it on before I get into bed at night. I mean, one of my things is I feel better as an older woman with a spray tan or a tan. I haven't got anything on now because I wanted to show you how my face looks. I want to show you how white I am. But I'm actually, you know, I do feel like a light spray tan, which I'm going to do when I get to LA, just makes you look younger, warmer. It can take a good 5 years off you too. So I would suggest to people, even just getting like a cream with a natural tan in it. Nivea do a really good one too. By the way, I travel with that. It's a sort of an instant moisturizer that gradual tan, and it's just a very nice natural color. Very hard to fuck up, ladies. Very hard. So that's great, because I manage to fuck up my tans all the time and around the toes and all that. So when you have it built into a cream like that, it kind of like whizzes on a lot easier. If you've got a husband that's a bit kinder and might help you out with your back and you use those mousses, they can be good too. But I'd also suggest adding cream to it, because they're easier to go on when they've got cream added, and it sort of goes on a lot easier, because there's nothing worse. And I've been victim to bad tans my entire life. But anyway, I don't really care, because I love the way I look overly tan too. So, and the other thing is, I think just, you know, I think as we get older, we're taught that we're not meant to spend as much money on ourselves or to like dress in colors. We should be shrouded in black or beige or brown, and that we should be scared of color because, you know, it's for young people. And I say that's absolute bollocks. I mean, I barely wear black, barely. And so every time I put it on, I know that I want to. Like sometimes I look at pictures and I'm like, oh, you do look good. You should wear more black. But I feel like I'm going to a funeral. I feel like it affects my mood. Most of you know, if you follow me, that my house looks like a rainbow threw up in it. So I am that person that needs to visually see color. Color makes me happy. And, you know, pink behind me and yellow. And I love wearing colors and mixing and matching. And I love blue. And I feel like if you are a happy person, you need to wear happy colors. I do understand why people sort of get into this uniform of black, because you don't need as many clothes. It can be a uniform. You just change the bag and the shoes and all of these things. But I do think there's something to be said with really dressing when you're older too, and having fun with it. Changing your hair color. I'm going to LA now, and I'm really excited. I have to say, I'm not letting anyone touch it now, because I've got one more week in Aspen, and then I'm going straight into Nikki Lee's salon. And I had to cancel last time because I was after my surgery and I wasn't allowed to go and do it. So I am the most excited about getting a hair makeover this time. And I've decided I don't know what I want to do. I mean, I did want to do red. I really wanted to do red, but I think Sergio will leave me. He loves a good blonde. But I do feel, going into my, you know, late 40s, that I would like to have a new color now. Sergio's just walked in and he's like shaking his head. It's so annoying. He sits out and listens to me. Absolutely drives me mental. Oh, here he is.
I'm not, honey. I'm making sure that everything is okay.
No, he's not. Because then, you know, when he hears me talk about what I've got planned to do, then he comes rushing in. Anyway, so I have got a hair makeover coming. And actually, you guys should send me messages on what you think I should do. It will be in the next 2 weeks. So I hopefully this will have dropped. But those kind of things also keep me excited, because you can reinvent yourself. Keep reinventing yourself. No one said that you can't change because you're 50. You know, I am finding out now who I am. I really am. And I'm finding out, I think in our 40s and 30s, we try on so many different hats. I've been a businesswoman. I've changed my entrepreneurial hat, means I've changed my hat so many fucking times. I'm podcasting. I'm a TV person. I'm magazines. I'm renovating houses. I had my furniture line. What else have I done? I can't even think now. I've got so many. I'm doing Bali right now. And now Marissa Peer and I are launching our relationship courses. And I think that was a very natural progression too. As I said, you know, like I've had so many of you write to me over the last few years, as I've been with Sergio, so interested in the dynamic of how it works with a much older woman and a younger man. Obviously, we've all been told that it can't work, that I wanted to create this course for you just to say that 50 doesn't mean that you are never going to find love again. 40 to 50, you can be doing somersaults. Like, men find 40, 50-year-old women very fucking attractive. I have no problems with men. Oh, I'll tell you, I got a text message last night. Actually, it was one so nice. I'm just lying in bed and one of my best friend's husbands sent me a message going, we're all talking about you and the boys think you look like Margot Robbie. And I was like, how nice is that? mean, these are my friends for over 20 something years, right? And he must have been at a dinner party. And, you know, for someone just to take the time to give you a compliment, it is so nice to hear. Men, if you're listening out there, don't forget to pay older women a compliment. We love them. Even if we're married, we love them. That's not to say we want to flirt. That's to say we see you. You still look amazing. Most of my friends who are mid-40s look unbelievable. I had a girlfriend over yesterday, and she's a little bit younger than me, but not a lot. And just mind-blowingly beautiful. Mind-blowing. And she said, you know, the same thing, that she just, men just absolutely go dilali for her. And so, you know, I want to tell you all that just, it's all energy. The energy that you put out is what you get back. And that's what's so exciting. You know, I really can't wait to help the next generation of women, you know, find their inner mojo. And to let you know that, you know, I'm not saying that you have to go out and wear Dior every day. You have to just go out and feel fabulous every day. That is a morning routine. That is your health and making sure that you're in tip-top condition. You know, even if I don't want to work out as often as my husband does, I know I can keep up with him. I can keep up with my husband. I'm looking, I've got muscles now on my arms that I didn't have before. I'm going skiing now for a week, and I'm going to have the best time, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to, you know, climb, and I'm going to be down that mountain. I don't want to ski every day with my husband, but I know that I can have, like, you know, a lovely morning ski, 2-3 hours, and that'd be great for me. That's great exercise, the fresh air. And I think, you know, another thing that you really should do for yourselves, if you can, again, I know that a lot of people scream into the microphone, when you're so lucky, and, you know, you have all the money. Well, it's not true. I work every day and I produce the money. I've made it very clear to you. I've been up and I've been down. I mean, the last 2 years ago, I was almost bankrupt. So that excuse does not wash with me, because if I can come back, we can all come back. Okay. I grew up in Dorset. I have had bad years. You know, running out of money and making money is the same for everybody. It's the same for everybody. Okay. And we all have a computer today. So there's no excuse or a phone on how to start. You just need to start. You need to stop telling yourself you can't do something and get on with it. And why is the reason you want to do it is because, you know, 50 is the new 40. You know, 50 is the new 30, frankly. You know, people are living way into their 90s now. So we're not even really at midlife. We, you know, we're getting there. So I want to start living now like I'm not remotely through my life. You know, what is my next chapter look like? Well, I found a partner and I'm building a business in Bali with my husband. And I'm going to have months in Bali with no shoes on, running around, helping myself, feeling great with no pressure, because that's the life I've chosen now, which I don't know, I must have been led to, because it was never my dream before. It's so funny, the universe does push you into weird directions. You know, that I am now building something that will force me to relax, force me into doing what I need to do for myself, which is relax, because I had years of burnout. Years, and burnout ages you. You know, burnout is what adds wrinkles. So I think, you know, taking the time and understanding that just even a nap in the afternoon or an hour of just shutting the door on people is so important to make you feel good. This afternoon, I've got a lovely face massage. And that's something that I know I will drift off to sleep and I'll feel amazing. I can't wait. Absolutely can't wait. And I told you before that it's so important to get away from your husband, your children, and take a few hours or an hour or half an hour for yourself. Don't let anyone talk to you. Put your phone on airplane mode. That's something I'm still learning to do. But don't let anyone ruin it for you. That's one thing Sergio still hasn't got his head round, that I, you know, don't want him in the room for an hour. He thinks a cuddle is something that's going to help me relax. And it's just sometimes you just want to be on your own. So what are the things that so far that we've covered? So I think looking and feeling your best. So whatever that looks like for you, be it surgery, if you've been thinking about it, stop thinking. I'm here to tell you, get on with it. If it's injectables, get on with it. You know, dressing, also playing music. Play music when you wake up. That changes so much. Put on your favorite tune and dance around your bedroom. You know, can you believe at my age, I do that. I do that. I put on the music in my bedroom. It was the one thing I really, you know, spent money on as well, was a ridiculous music system through my house. And I can play it in the ceiling of all my rooms. We pump it in the morning because then you jump out. You have your coffee, jump out of bed, start singing. You can't help but sing. And then go to your wardrobe and pick your fabulous outfit. And it doesn't matter where that outfit's from, but as long as you feel fabulous, put a bit of color on. Put your makeup on. I've always maintained this. I don't care what age you are. Get dressed and put your makeup on. There's no excuse to look shit. Because that's the day that you will go out and meet your future husband, by the way. The day that you forget your makeup is the day that you meet the guy you want to go out with. So don't do it. Every day is a runway. Every day. You know, even my sports gear is fabulous. I think about his outfits. It's not one of those frumpy t-shirts and old, you know, rubbish track suits. It's an outfit. And if you've got enough money to go and buy the frumpy ones, you've got enough money to buy the non-frumpy one. Okay, so you're just picking it for your body. Practice being positive every day. It is key to your life. Practicing gratitude and saying positive things every single day changes slowly over time your whole mindset. Also, another thing that I do, and I've made it very clear to friends, and this is a big one. They used to come over and like tell me horrible things they'd heard about me, or like, especially being on a reality show, because, you know, to a lot of my friends, you know, when you're a little bit famous, people want to come over and tell them what they think of you. And I just said to them, don't tell me anymore. I don't care. I genuinely don't care. I don't need to know what other people think of me, because those people don't know me. I had one woman that I know call me up and say, I met someone that hates you last night. And then I went, oh, that's nice. And she goes, no, she genuinely really fucking hates you. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you even bother bringing that to me? Like, does it help me in any way? Is it going to make me feel good for the rest of the day? Are you going to tell me who it is? No. So don't bother. Keep your conversations, or the ones that you've allowed to happen in front of you, to you. So once you do that, you don't hear the noise anymore. And I think that's a very, very important one. I used to be so concerned, you know, if you hear anything, or what do people think of me? I don't anymore, because I don't really care, because your opinion means absolutely fucking nothing to me. You don't pay my bills, don't live my life. And as I've said, my happiness isn't hinged on your view of me, because if it was, I'd be a gibbering wreck. I think becoming fabulous, you just have to believe you are fabulous. No one can talk you out of that. No one can teach you that. I know I'm fabulous. I'm a great friend. I'm a loyal friend. I'm a great mom. You know, I'm a great wife. And even though, you know, you all laugh about how I treat Sergio and whatever else, you don't understand. That's our banter. That's our love language. Sergio would fucking curl up and die if I wanted to lie down and curl up with him all day. And he wouldn't even know what to do with me. You know, put yourself first. And that is a key one to being fabulous. Put yourself first for once. All of you out there busy sacrificing your life for all the people around you and going, well, you know, you're not getting a medal when you die. No one's coming to your deathbed and going, there she is. She sacrificed her life for everyone. Everyone's going, poor darling, didn't really get to do anything she wanted to do. That's not fucking happening to me, I can assure you. When I die, everyone's going, well, that woman lived. That woman lived. I can't even tell you the schedule I've got coming up. I've just been to the Serengeti for however long. Then I went to, where was I? Zanzibar. Tomorrow morning, I leave to Los Angeles. Then I go to Aspen for a week. Then I go to Houston. Then I come back. I'm meant to be in Courchevel. I'm just deciding whether I want to do that. Then I go to Australia for 2 weeks. Then I'm going to Costa Rica. Then I'm going to Bali. No one is going to say that I did not fucking live my life. I'm living my life. And where are my kids? Well, I'll tell you where my kids are. My kids are in school, where they come home in the afternoon and then they go to sports. So it doesn't really matter if I'm there all day, every day, waiting for them. So what I do is on their holidays, like we're all going to Bali together and they're all bringing a friend and we're going to stay there for a couple of weeks and have the best time, all of us. They've just been skiing with their father and then they'll plan another trip with me. And that's what happens in their holidays, like other normal people. But there is no reason for you, when you have teenage children, not to live your life too. My kids, Yasmin is leaving. She's leaving in September. That's it. So why on earth would she need me at home all day? She doesn't. And my boys don't. As long as I'm on the phone and they're able to reach me whenever they want, which they are, and I'm home in between, I can still travel. Stop making excuses of why you can't live and get on with why you should live. And also, by the way, this is the biggest, biggest thing for divorce. I'm watching it so much with my friends now because they're at that age where, you know, they're a little bit younger than me. And I see them and then they're in that sort of rat race of having to have babies. And they've had this like hugely sexual, fun, amazing relationship where they just traveled and they had fun. They only had themselves to care about. And now one baby and two babies, and that stopped because they can't move around. They can't be spontaneous. They can't have spontaneous sex because there's toddlers running around the house. They don't feel sexy. They're fucking tired. One of them has to travel for work, or one of them has to stay home. So they're being separated for unnatural lengths of time. And then, you know, it's very hard to reconnect again. And that is the biggest mistake. And that is actually why Sergio and I are umming and ahhing about this baby thing again for us, because we've absolutely understood now that the key to a successful relationship for us is not to be apart at all. You know, obviously, I quite like him to bugger off in the day for an hour or so. But, you know, travel, we don't travel without each other. And I think we don't travel, we're not separated. And therefore, as a young guy, there is no temptation for him. There's no temptation. There's nowhere to go. He's not looking at women because there aren't any. I mean, who's he going to find unless they knock on my front door? That is not an invitation for you all to come around to my house. I don't feel that at all with him. And I think because we're so connected, because we are always together, he genuinely doesn't look at other women. Genuinely. So it's not really something that we are past or is in our life yet. And I think the scary part about having a baby for us is we'd have to go back into the system. We'd have to go back into schooling and all of that. And then, you know, not being able to travel for those months while the baby's in, you know, nursery or this or that. And I don't want to do that again. And I'm not really sure he understands what that would mean for him either, because he does like to go, oh, let's just get up and go here. We got invited here. We're going. You know, he just got an invitation to Costa Rica yesterday and he's already like on the phone trying to like, you know, map out our tour of Costa Rica now. He can't wait. But that can't happen if you've got kids, young kids. It's remaining fabulous in your marriage, no matter what, ladies. And I think that that's also something when people have babies, they let go of their fabulous selves and their fabulous part of their lives. They don't go out. They don't enjoy themselves. They forget to have spontaneous sex. They forget to have the surprise, the element of surprise, to get dressed up. You're just too tired. So I think all of these things help you, knowing you're going into your later life, make those decisions. Don't give up on yourself. Only you can make your decisions for you. And I don't care if you've been married 20 or 30 years, you should still be making those decisions every day for yourself. Show up for yourself because no one else will. I intend to look amazing into my 60s, 70s, I don't know, whatever. Sergio is fully aware I'm going to. And he's fully behind everything I do now because he sees how much joy it brings me and in return it brings him. So ladies, there is absolutely no reason not to feel fucking fabulous in your 50s. Thank you for listening to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury. I hope this helps you all out here.
Thank you for listening. You can catch my new episode of my podcast every Wednesday. Please don't forget to follow so you don't miss any of the action. I want to hear from you, so leave me a rating and a review. Follow us on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information at Uncut and Uncensored by Caroline. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.